Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We all know that the big miracle is the resurrection. We all know that's the one that we base our faith on, right? Jesus Christ is crucified, but what's better that Jesus Christ is risen? We're looking forward to that Easter celebration next week. But for this week, we see some other miracles. Now, we all know the resurrection's a miracle, but what about those crucifixion miracles? We hear about these things, and so often we either just read right over them and not think much of them at all, or we sort of wonder, why are these things happening? Why are these crucifixion miracles so important? And so I'll lay them out for you. Why is it important that there is darkness over the land for 3 hours? Why is it important that the temple curtain is somehow ripped in half from top to bottom? What's going on with this earthquake and people rising from their tombs? What is the deal? Why are these things happening? And especially, why do they happen surrounding Jesus' death? Why do some of them happen before he dies? Why do some of them happen after he dies? Well, this is our sermon topic for this morning. The truth is that these miracles, they serve the same purpose as every other miracle in Scripture, at least in part. And that is to show that Jesus Christ truly is the very Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. And even as Jesus is dying and dead on the cross, he is still performing miracles. But the bitter truth is that we often take these words for granted. After all, we hear them every year and maybe umpteen years for as long as you've been alive. The truth is that we take for granted these miracles that happen around the crucifixion. First is the darkness. It happens at the sixth hour. The sixth hour, by reckoning at that time, would have been noon, right? The time that we know that the sun is sort of highest in the sky and it's the brightest and sort of the apex of the day, if you will. And suddenly, right at noon, the sun's rays are immediately cut off. Well, this was to fulfill Psalm 69. Let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Now, if you ever see a movie about the crucifixion, or if there's ever the crucifixion depicted in a movie, they always show this darkness as if all of a sudden it was sunny and then it was just overcast for a little while. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says darkness. It's like going from noon to midnight in an instant. And this darkness, especially throughout Scripture, but especially here, even in the crucifixion, it's symbolic of pain and sorrow and abandonment. And creation itself testifies to what Jesus is doing for you. We all know that we are sinners. We all know that we deserve things that are not good for us. But Jesus doesn't allow that to happen. We are the ones who deserve darkness and those who deserve to tremble in the fear of God's wrath, but Jesus protects you from all of it. Because on the cross, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, we get this symbol that Jesus is absorbing all of sin into himself. He is suffering for all sins of every people, becoming maximum sinner on the cross, taking on the sins of the world, and he feels God's wrath. He feels the darkness. He feels the pain. And he has the most profound sorrow of any man who has ever lived in the entire world, as he is utterly forsaken by God. That's what the darkness tells us about what Jesus does for you. Next is the temple curtain. Temple curtain ripped in two from top to bottom. Well, this would have been a very, very sort of thick curtain, very ornate, very expensive. And it's ripped in two, it says, after Jesus yielded up his spirit. So the death is done, the crucifixion is over, it's sort of accomplished, and Jesus has endured the full punishment for sins now. And so this temple curtain being torn in two, it is a physical demonstration of a spiritual reality. See, this curtain, what it did was it protected a place called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. It was the place where only the high priest could go once a year on the Day of Atonement. Atonement meaning reparation, reconciliation, removing the sin problem. And so at this time, during the ninth hour here, they would have been doing the evening sacrifice. The priest would have been literally standing in front of this curtain at the altar doing the evening sacrifice, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake, and this curtain somehow unexplainably rips in two to show us exactly what Jesus does. Because we no longer need a high priest to go into God's presence in the Holy of Holies. We don't need somebody to go and make sacrifice on our behalf. Why? Because Jesus has just been the greatest sacrifice for all people of all times. He is the one who has reconciled us to God. Now, when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the tale goes is that they tie a rope around his waist. That way, if for some reason one of his sins was not purified from him before he entered God's presence, they'd be able to drag his dead body out of there without entering themselves. And it shows us something, right? Even one teensy, tiny sin prevents us from being with God, prevents us from being worthy to stand in God's presence. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a white lie. You know, it could be letting somebody down by missing an appointment. It could be saying something rude and off color, which we consider in our world. We're like, oh, those aren't very big sins. It's not like I've killed anybody or anything like that. But the truth is that one teensy, tiny sin is enough where you were to enter into God's presence, you would die immediately. But no more. Because the temple curtain has been ripped in half. There is no longer a veil that separates us from God's presence. We can approach God directly because Jesus has covered over our sins with his blood, with his death. He has made the sacrifice as your high priest. The Day of Atonement? For you, it's every day. Every Sunday, you have access to God. Because of Jesus. Now, the next ones are the earthquake and this resurrection thing, which they sort of need to go hand in hand, because in burial practices of the day, like we know with Jesus, right, they would roll a stone in front of the tomb, or they'd have these big slabs of stone that would go over the grave covers. And so really, if God raises the saints from the dead, it's not as if their loved ones are going to go to the cemetery and say, hey, I got a good idea. Let's uncover their bodies today for no good reason whatsoever. No, right? We learned last week that death stinks, right? That after Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days, his body was already decaying. And so there's really no reason for someone's loved ones to unbury them. And so when God does this resurrection of the saints situation, he also has to make a way for them to come out of their tombs. And so he sends the earthquake, that way these stones and these rocks and these slabs might be broken at the same time. And this miracle, it shows us what we have in Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, when Jesus cries out with a loud voice at the last, it doesn't say his spirit left him. It doesn't say his spirit was taken from him. It doesn't say that death won. It says he cried out and then he yielded up his spirit. Jesus willingly gives up his spirit. He's not afraid of death. Even at this moment, Jesus has the power over death. It doesn't happen on Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is just the visible sign that we all get to see. Jesus has the power over death even as he enters death. And so his cry and his yielding up his spirit, it is not defeat. This is a victory lap. This is Jesus saying, I am winning. And of course, he demonstrates it more fully 3 days later. But what this shows us is, especially for those who maybe feel the sting of death, This is probably the most comforting miracle of all. For God's people, for those saints, the reign of death has ended. Not even death itself can contain the bodies of those who fall asleep in Jesus. The resurrection of these saints at Jesus' death, it shows us what is about to happen 3 days later in Jesus' very own resurrection. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. You see, all of these miracles, they lead us to one truth. A truth for you on Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion. A truth that even pagan Roman soldiers recognize. Truly, this was the Son of God. And he still is. Jesus is still the Son of God for you, who entered into the darkness of our sin and sorrow and pain and died for you and bled for you and announced that your sins are forgiven. Jesus came to act as a mediator on your behalf, that way you might have access to heaven, that way you might have access to God himself, who has promised you every good thing. And it's Jesus who promises that even in death, death has no power. For if Jesus has been raised, so too will you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.